donate, and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
What you have in this is actually a very interesting picture that actually goes back a little bit further, which is if we examine everything looking forward from September of 2019, when the Global Health Preparedness Monitoring Board, part of the World Health Organization, a board on which Anthony Fauci sits, a board on which the director of the Chinese CDC sits, and a board on which the medical director of the Gates Foundation sit as interlocking directorates. That same organization, in fact, gave rise to the phrase, the intentional or accidental release of a respiratory pathogen, into a document saying that there needed to be a global simulation of a pathogen event, an accidental or intentional release of a respiratory pathogen, and it had to happen by September of 2020. So in the publication, The World at Risk, on page 8, the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board stated that countries, donors, and multilateral institutions must be prepared for the worst. A rapidly spreading pandemic due to a lethal respiratory pathogen, whether naturally emergent or accidentally or deliberately released, poses additional preparedness requirements. Donors and multilateral institutions must ensure adequate investment in developing innovative vaccines and therapeutics, surge manufacturing capacity, broad-spectrum antivirals, and appropriate non-pharmaceutical interventions. All countries must develop a system for immediately sharing genome sequences of any new pathogen for the public health purposes, along with the means to share limited medical countermeasures across countries. Progress indicators by September 2020. Donors and countries commit and identify timelines for financing and development of a universal influenza vaccine, broad-spectrum antivirals, targeted therapeutics. WHO and its member states develop options for standard procedures and timelines for sharing of sequence data, specimens, medical countermeasures for pathogens other than influenza. That was published September of 2019, 3.5 months before, allegedly, Nature unleashed a respiratory pathogen. And it turns out that all of the individuals who were associated with this publication are also associated with the control of the data regarding this publication. That includes Michael Bloomberg, that includes the Zuckerberg Foundation, and that includes the Gates Foundation. The same people who architected the events of September and October are exactly the same people who now control 100% of the data narrative, because the COVID tracking project, which has willfully conflated RT-PCR tests with alleged COVID-19 counts, despite the fact that the RT-PCR test does not measure for SARS-CoV-2. In fact, it has no ability to measure for SARS-CoV-2. And SARS-CoV-2 has not ever been established as a causative agent for COVID-19. It has been associated in certain clinical settings, but it has never been isolated as the causative agent for COVID-19 in any patient ever. We have no evidence that SARS-CoV-2 causes a disease. That statement cannot be made by anyone. Equally, there is no basis to suggest that somehow coming up with a gene therapy that is passed off under the guise of a vaccine has any ability to disrupt infection with a virus or disruption of the transmission of COVID-19. There is no evidence at all anywhere for any of that. And the people controlling the narrative happen to have financial invested commitments to make sure this narrative is promoted.
And can you describe the roles of these these four people or foundations a little bit further?
Well, it's interesting when you think about the role that each one of these plays. Obviously, the Bloomberg Foundation granting an enormous grant to the Johns Hopkins University School of Public Health. Somewhat ironically, the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health is the U.S. headquarters, if you will, for allegedly the independent information that is reported to media around how this disease is progressing across the country. Together with the University of Washington, these two institutions have been central in building the fear and terror narrative that keeps the death count and the infection count and the RT-PCR count going as a daily drumbeat to terrorize the public. The Gates Foundation has been very insistent and has been one of the principal investors in a vaccine-only approach to medicine around the world. And once again, the universal influenza vaccine, which they and NIAID have been trying to promote for years, hasn't taken off for a very simple reason. It hasn't been effective in stopping influenza. At best, it may limit certain individuals' exposures to certain strains of certain experiences of influenza, but it has been a catastrophic multi-billion dollar failure. And you have the means of communication. The Zuckerberg Foundation not only controlling what is shared on social media, what is shared across the community, but more importantly, they are also instrumental in being the arbiter of the information that can be made available with respect to anything going from commercial or social or any other intervention where the majority of people are getting their information about events, about the control of their own lives and their own liberty through social media platforms. They're controlling not only what can be said, but they're expressly suppressing any piece of information that goes against a narrative not dictated by science, not dictated by public health, but dictated exclusively by the people who have established financial interest in the control of a population. All of which goes back to the September 2018 and September 2019 minutes of Anthony Fauci's NIAID Advisory Council meetings, where he lamented the failure of his HIV/AIDS program, endorsed the what he called infant imprint universal influenza vaccine program, which he desperately wanted to get off the ground, and despite making every effort to get the influenza vaccine going, he had to come up with a new pathogen because it turns out that the influenza vaccine program wasn't working. And now we have a program where we manufacture a pathogen that we have not been able to independently verify. We measure it with a diagnostic device that is neither diagnostic nor a device. The approach that is being used in the RT-PCR is something that can give you whatever outcome you plug into it. Because the fact of the matter is, it's not measuring a virus, it's measuring a protein fragment that is amplified so many times that if you want to run the amplification cycle throughput enough, you can actually manufacture a positive or negative test based purely on how many times you run a sample. And we now have a single treatment that is the only treatment that can be discussed in public. And that is a treatment where as recently as today, January the 14th, 2021, CNN publicly lied by stating in a video that the vaccine for COVID-19 is 95% effective against infection. That is a lie. They know it's a lie because infection has to do with the presence or absence of a pathogen. It has nothing to do with the presentation of symptoms. And the clinical trials for what is being passed off as a vaccine, albeit it is in fact a gene therapy, not a vaccine, by the legal, statutory, and patent definitions of vaccines. Despite all of that, we are being told that the very metrics around which this particular treatment has been measured have nothing to do with infection, have nothing to do with transmission, and have everything to do with the individual experience of symptom control in less than 2,000 individuals out of a 40,000 person clinical trial. In the clinical trials for both the Pfizer and Moderna alleged vaccine, the primary endpoint, the primary criteria for success, was diminished symptoms of COVID-19. Now remember, COVID-19 is not a disease. It's a family of symptoms. It's a family of clinical presentations. There is no requirement within this trial to confirm that coronavirus or even a positive RT-PCR was present. All there is a symptom mitigation program. And conveniently, many of what were recorded as adverse events for the clinical trials, which were not included as clinical outcomes for the actual effectiveness scores, were, are you ready for this? COVID symptoms. Fever, muscle pain, aches, a number of the things that were called adverse events in the trial were excluded from being measured as COVID symptoms. So when we are told that these were 90% or 95% effective, they are effective based on the design of the clinical trial that made it impossible for them not to be effective. But they were not effective in stopping infection. They were not even measured in whether or not they did anything for transmission. And the majority of individuals who received the vaccination or the placebo went through life just like the rest of us, not having any symptoms at all, except adverse side effects in the vaccine population, which were considered to be normal vaccine side effects of moderate to mild severity. So the fact of the matter is, there has been no vaccine clinical trial as defined by what a vaccine is. And the intervention itself, the gene therapy intervention itself from both Pfizer and Moderna, does not have as its primary objective the stimulation of immunity. Its primary objective is to insert a synthetic mRNA fragment into the cell so that the cell actually manufactures the S1 spike protein equivalent. In other words, this is not a device to stimulate a primary outcome of immunity. It is to stimulate a primary outcome of making a toxin express within your body. And the hope of this therapy is that once your cell is making the pathogen, making the toxin, then your body will respond with an immunity. But that is a secondary, not a primary effect. And that's important for everyone to understand.
So what's your concern with that?
Well, my concern is very simple. Your body should not be turned into a toxin manufacturing machine. Period. That's a horrible idea. It's a horrible idea to say that the way we treat a person for a disease they don't have is to create the toxin within their own body, where their body is co-opted into producing the toxin with the hope that an immune response follows. But the actual intervention is not an immunity intervention. The actual intervention is to get your body to create a toxin against which you hope the body then develops an immunity.
Okay. Yeah. And do you think there could be other purposes to it?
Well, listen, anyone who willfully lies about outcomes, designs clinical trials that are on their face failing to meet a modicum of scientific discipline, any clinical trial that refuses to measure the pathogen for which a treatment is in fact the primary objective of the intervention, right? The fact that we do not have even the problematic, if not defunct, RT-PCR data, right? If we don't even have information on whether or not individuals in this clinical trial did or did not have positive or negative RT-PCR tests, this information, which would be a baseline for a decent clinical trial, is non-existent. What we have is we have trials that were designed to succeed for the outcome that we wanted. The outcome we wanted was to fast track a vaccine model that is unproven, untested, and in previous experience has not worked. But we wanted to fast track it, and the only way to do it was through an emergency use authorization. Can anything go wrong with that? Can anything?
All righty, we're back. And well, there you go, Joe. I mean, it's just unbelievable. We got the truth out.
It is. Can we get a transcript of that by any chance?
David Martin, you can go up on the internet and pull it down. You can see if you can get one printed out. We don't have the manpower to do it. Here, that's a lot. That's a lot of work. Getting that, we can just.
Is there a title?
What is the title there? Hang tight. I lost that information. I had it here, and we'll give it to you in just a minute. That's Dr. David Martin and
criminal evidence that Gates, Fauci, and many others have violated at least 6 criminal offenses.
Okay, criminal evidence that, and you have to say it a little louder because I could barely hear you. Go ahead and say it where we can all hear you.
Criminal evidence that Gates, Fauci, and many others have violated at least 6 U.S. offenses.
All right, did you get that, Joe?
Got it, have. Got it.
All right, very good.
And if I can get it, our audience can.
Well, you just got the one half, the half part of it. It you know, it actually gets better from there, but we've got a lot to get out tonight.
There's a lot more. We only have so much time. Yeah.
Tell me about Pastor Artur Pawlowski.
Yep, up in our
Canada.
Wonderful friends and neighbors, Canada, that's turning communist. Artur is facing 10 years in prison. He gave a speech, and, well, he actually had a service at that trucker blockade. Remember that they had up there over the COVID vaccine? And he's waiting the court's decision. There's been a trial, and he's facing these 10 years. He defied court orders, kept his church open during the pandemic, and then he went and he held a church service during that trucker's blockade there at the U.S.-Canadian border, and now they're accusing that he contributed $400 million in damages. And people are saying they have never seen anything like this in their beloved Canada before. And Pastor Artur Pawlowski says has maintained that Canada's response to the pandemic was an attempt to destroy the middle class, and that this is one of the trials of the century. Freedom of expression, freedom of religion are at stake. He said, what did we do? We had the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion. We were singing hymns together, and I told the truckers that it was okay to stand up for their rights. And I was wearing a hoodie that had a message of solidarity with the truckers. The trial prosecutor said, since I had a hoodie, I was inciting people because I was wearing a hoodie. And this is crazy. He said, this nation, Canada, has gone crazy. We're living behind the Iron Curtain. And freedom of expression and religion are what's at stake. And he said, everything is upside down. But when you have communism or socialism for a government, we're being attacked at all, you know, basically from the left and the right. And the situation up there is pretty dire. And he is waiting until, I believe, March before the judge actually rules on his fate. So hopefully the listeners out there will keep Pastor Artur, A-R-T-U-R, Pawlowski, in their prayers. 10 years of his life is at stake over, you know, having a church service, Holy Communion, Lord's Supper, and, you know, believing in the truckers, being on their side. So they're going to put him in prison for up to 10 years for it if they find him guilty, which it sounds like he's already kind of been convicted from what all the other people say. It's just a matter of sentencing.
Well, you know what? He'll become a martyr, and he'll become more popular. And guess what? There'll be books written. His story will be probably make a movie about him. One of the Christian people out there. So
it could be, but we know that all over the world, Europe, everywhere else now, England especially, preaching the gospel is becoming a very dangerous thing. You're not allowed to preach certain parts of the gospel, preach in public. There is more persecution going on now than I think in the past couple hundred years.
Well, that's right here in America, too. You've got that here. Yep. Look, I've been arrested many times for preaching the gospel. What they tell you that's your sound violation or whatever, trespassing, even though you're not trespassing anything, you know, instead of just, they don't charge you with preaching the gospel, but that's what they arrest you for preaching the gospel.
Right.
And we've beaten them every single time.
The Jesus Saves T-shirt at the Mall of America there in Minnesota. They were going to kick him out of the mall for just wearing a T-shirt.
Well, the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum, which I went down something like 45 times, I went to the March for Life. Something like 45 times, Joe. And we went through that Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum many, many, many times. And we were never arrested for wearing pro-life T-shirts, pro-life, you know, hats, pro-life, whatever. But, Joe Obama Biden was not in office. He was not in the White House then. And so here, the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum kicks out Catholic students for wearing pro-life hats. That's the article, the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum is under fire for kicking out students wearing pro-life beanies inside. In Greenville, South Carolina, reported yesterday that the parents of the students are considering legal action against the museum. I hope they sue them for everything. And not just the museum, the people, the people that kicked them out. And the students wanted to attend the museum after the March for Life rally. On January 20th, a security guard ordered them to take off their beanies. They refused to do that. A parent of one of the students posted on Twitter that the reason her daughter and the others were wearing beanies was so that they could identify each other in the National Air and Space Museum. Unfortunately, this explanation was not good enough for the security officer. Now, here, you just talked about the Mall of America here. Now, listen to this, Joe. Catholic school suspends teen for stating God created just two genders and protesting against transgender students using girls' bathrooms. That's right. And now this is a Catholic school. In Western societies today, telling the truth regarding human biology can have detrimental consequences. A so-called Catholic school suspended a conservative Canadian teenager named Josh Alexander for the remainder of the school year because he refused to abandon his correct beliefs on gender and for the standing up for girls uncomfortable with biological males in their restrooms. Now, if all the parents of those students did the right thing, if they were decent people, they did the right thing, they would all pull their children out of that Catholic school. Every one of them would pull their children.
A single student in it tomorrow morning.
Yep. And
remember, we've been saying for years that truth is hate to those who hate the truth, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And there's another example here. There's a veteran And he's been going around. His name is Jeff Gray. He's a retired truck driver, U.S. Army veteran. And he has been harassed, trespassed, handcuffed, arrested. And what has he done for all this? He has been going around with a sign saying, "God bless the homeless vets." And he's been trying to raise awareness of homelessness among those who served in the nation's military. And he's been holding these signs in front of city halls across the United States, trying to get attention for the plight of a lot of these homeless veterans that were having trouble with what happened to them in combat. And, you know, they turned to drugs, alcohol. They're having problems. And so here, you know, just walking around in front of your local city, county governments, and he's been arrested and searched, detained, all these things. Well, they say he's panhandling. No, he's holding a sign. He didn't get a government permit, is one of the other things he gets charged. And he's never taken money. People, you know, given him money once in a while, but he's never asked for any money from anyone. And yet they keep throwing him in jail for panhandling. So religion is under siege, right?
Oh, absolutely. Now, here's one, Joe, that I'm not sure what to think on this one. It's by Brian Lupo. And it's Watch J6 Political Prisoners, okay? Here it says, federal judge rules banning guns for marijuana users is unconstitutional. Well, you know, I'm not big on marijuana users. Are you?
No, but I'm not big on any drug use.
If you give them the finger, if you give them that, then pretty soon they'll be passing a law that, you know, maybe you ought to have your guns banned if you're wearing a pro-life T-shirt, huh?
Yeah, I guess you're right. You know, that's the first thing. If you do anything contrary to the government, then you're, you and I have been called terrorists before by various branches of the federal government for being pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-God, Constitution. So they're going to come up with anything to try and shut us up.
Yep. Anyhow, Joe Biden is a traitor. He's a traitor. This is a Sputnik moment. Steve Bannon goes off on Biden regime after spy balloon humiliation. Steve Bannon went off on the intelligence Biden regime following the national humiliation over the China spy balloon. Now here it's come out. Trump was putting them spy balloons all over the country. Those Chinese spy balloons, but they didn't say anything about it, Joe, because they were afraid that Trump was going to get out there with a rifle and try to shoot them all down, and that could have put people in danger, right?
Yeah. Hopefully everybody realizes sarcasm out there when they hear it. You know, the whole thing, though, there's only a couple of possibilities. Either the Biden administration is lying terribly, one of the biggest lies, one of the worst lies they've ever told, or people like General Mattis has come out and said, no way that happened. He did not keep information like that from the president because there was no balloon in his command. The head of NORAD said there were no balloons. NORAD knows when an aircraft takes off an airfield in Russia and it climbs a certain altitude. They know that aircraft. They can tell you what kind of aircraft it's heading, what it is. There's no way that these great big balloons that could carry a huge payload like the size of a bus or two buses is going to escape NORAD, period.
But it's been all over the news all day long. There's been at least 10 of those balloons have flown over the country while Trump was in office. It's been, you know, that's what they've been saying in the news.
This is the biggest lie that's ever been told that I'm aware of. The Biden administration believes that if you tell it this big lie long enough, loud enough, the stupid, simple-minded people in this country would believe it. But when you have the head of NORAD saying, nope, didn't happen, hasn't happened, even the proof is right there. They showed the path of the balloon from its takeoff in China. They knew when it lifted off the ground, and they followed it all the way to Alaska, up and through Alaska, down through Canada. So, no, this didn't escape them.
All righty, hang tight. We'll be back right after this.
It's really telling.
I feel so certain about this faith of mine. I'm hanging in there, doing fine. King Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm blessed by you. Saving babies, teaching sinners. Hell's for losers, heaven's for winners. This word is not for beginners. I am blessed by you. I'm coming home someday. Heaven's my way. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints all stay and little children play. I'm blessed by you. Where the saints of old walk on streets of gold. I know that I will see that heavenly prize. It's no surprise how happy I'll be.
That guy can sing, I'm telling you. Hey, we're back. Hey, Joe, people really need, I'm sitting here, and right next to me, I've got our newsletter that will be our newsletter, what will be, and the folks out there really need this stuff. You know, I've had people tell me time and time again, their family, their relatives didn't believe them when they were telling them about some of this, what we're talking about here on the program, and they, well, that's not what I heard, but then once they took the newsletter and they showed them the article and they said, run it down, check it out for yourself, then that was the difference. I had a lady who, you know, just kind of thought we were way out in space, you know. And then so she said, all right, send me your newsletter. And now it's completely different. Now she's saying, well, I wish I'd have known. I was the space cadet. She understands that, you know, what we're telling her, we're getting to her what they need to know and not what the fake news media wants them to know. They're learning. They're getting educated. So, folks, it don't cost you anything. Newsletter's free. Tell them how they can get it, Joe.
Well, they can do two things. They can write to WRWL Ministries, and that address is 14781 Sperry Road. That's Sperry Road in Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. One more time, WRWL Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 440, or they can go to the web and email, and wrwl.org. The email address is right there, isn't it, on the website?
Yeah, it's right there. It's wrwlministries@gmail.com. That's wrwlministries@gmail.com. Or they can call. But if you call, you have to leave. Make sure you do it very clear. You wouldn't believe some of the calls we get. And folks, in every case, we need your full name, your full address, and we need your zip code, too. And so you can call and very clearly leave your name, address, and phone number, and request a newsletter. So there you go. Jim Jordan puts Hunter Biden defenders on notice. Dozens of ex-intelligence officials from the United States infamously signed a letter just before the 2020 election claiming that the accurate reporting about Hunter Biden's abandoned laptop contained signs of Russian disinformation. They all were lying. They knew they were lying, and they signed up. I mean, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, we got to get these people under oath, because it's a crime to lie to Congress under oath, isn't it, Joe?
It has been for as long as I am old. I don't know nowadays, though. It depends on what party you belong to, I guess.
Well, up to now, it hasn't applied to Fauci or Garland, Merrick Garland, or Chris Ray, but now it may.
Or Fauci.
It contained reams of details about many scandals in which the younger Biden was involved, including schemes that have involved sources inside America's enemies like Russia and China, turn over large amounts of cash to Biden and what critics charge was a plan to sell access to Joe Biden. He was selling access to Joe Biden. It was a part of the leftist strategy to suppress the information. Legacy social media companies were fully on board to push Joe Biden into the White House. Well, what might have happened has those reports been carried widely? A Media Research Center poll conducted after the vote fraud found 4.6% of all of Biden voters said that they would not have voted for him had they known the facts. That in all likelihood would have had left President Trump serving his second term. It wouldn't have mattered. The votes, you know, the machines decide the votes. It doesn't matter who votes. What matters, remember what Joseph Stalin said, it doesn't matter who votes. It matters who counts the votes, right?
The votes. But at the same time, it gives you an idea of the effect that the lies and disinformation and omitting the truth have on the people. You know, it tells us how important it is. Like, there's a story about tonight. First Lady Jill Biden came up, and she greeted First Gentleman Doug Emhoff, and the two kissed on the lips, and it looked like a husband kissing a wife, kind of kiss and eyes closed, and I'm looking at this going, wow.
She did the same thing with Obama.
There's
a picture on the internet, yeah.
Well, there's rumors that she is preparing to maybe be running in his place.
That's a possibility.
Starting to spread, they've come up with, well, she's, she can speak clearly and she can walk without fault, It's going to be interesting.
All righty. We're going to take some calls, and so let's go to Steve. Steve, you're in the air.
Pastor Sanders.
Yes, sir.
Pastor Joe. How are you guys doing tonight?
Okay, well, we're hanging in here and giving it the best we've got.
You got well. You're always the best. That's without a doubt. But I was just thinking. Everybody's talking about is Biden going to run? Is Trump going to run? And I did hear tonight, Officer Tatum. He said he wouldn't vote for Trump when it comes up, but he doesn't want to go out and go get a picture right away with DeSantis either. So there's a lot of riff in there. But if you really think about it, you look at Biden tonight, how he was talking. If anybody ever wants to know how healthy Trump is, try to find him on the internet or something and watch him drive a golf ball. The way the guy hits, it has to be at least 250 to 300 yards. I'll give him 250, 275. But the idea is put Biden next to him and give him the club afterwards. And what would Biden look like? It would be beyond night and day. And everything that Trump has done so far, he's had locked on with everything. And it's not these people who are scared of him. These people, either they believe what they're saying or these balloons are going over and they're a test and they've been going over. But NORAD is going to know everything. They're going to know who's getting on the plane, what kind of plane it is. And if they really believe that, the people that voted for Trump, that 75 million people, and I'd hate to see how many TVs got broke tonight or it just didn't turn them on, we're either the stupidest country in the world or the liberals believe 80% of what they say, because it's 80-20, 80% just out of 20%. However they figure, we do 20% of one thing, but it's the 80% of the habit that we fall into. And it's, we either believe what these people are saying or they believe it, and we just don't have the power right now to do, but we got to see what Kevin McCarthy in Congress is going to do. But this is going to be such a joke, but if they had to have somebody running, you take Trump, and then you take DeSantis, and it's going to be Michelle Maybello Obama, and Stacey Abrams.
All righty. What you have out there, you have a lot of, it's like professional wrestling. You have a lot of show business going on. Those guys get together, and sometimes it works out. Other times it doesn't work out. They go a little bit too far. Just like professional wrestling, sometimes one of those wrestlers really does get mad, okay? And so that's what happens. They talk before they go on that debate, and they set some boundaries there. And sometimes they cross those boundaries in that, but we got to move on. So let's go out to Cliff. Cliff, you're in there.
Yeah. What? Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Cliff. Hello? Go on.
Yeah, hello. Yeah, I'll just give a quick synopsis on the LifeSite articles I just looked at. One, that guy Walker from Pfizer, the supposed employee, is an actual doctor that works for Pfizer. But he said in that video to Project Veritas, the undercover reporter, that he admits that the vaccine is causing problems with women's menstruation issues. So that, this is a guy with a pretty high position within Pfizer is admitting that. There was a second LifeSite article that said that CBS News tweeted in tandem with the Grammy Sam Smith with a satanic ritual that they would worship. They used the word worship Satan in the CBS tweet that was subsequently taken off.
That was one of the filthiest things I've ever seen on TV. I couldn't believe, and I wouldn't have seen it had not been replayed so many times. It was so filthy that people couldn't believe it. But we got to move on because we're running out of time. Let's go to Bill out there in New Jersey.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor. There's basically two comments that I have. First of all, I heard the Republican response by Sarah Huckabee. She basically called him a liar. Second of all, I happen to be of Hispanic descent, and I am appalled of what's going on the border. Basically, he's using the tactic of divide and conquer. There's going to be a lot of discrimination against people, the Hispanics who are here legally. And there's basically only three races, black, white, Caucasian, and Asian, maybe Polynesian also. And what's going to happen is there's going to be intertwining, fighting amongst a lot of people that are here legally and those that are here illegally, bringing in drugs, bringing in prostitution.
Bill, let me tell you what's here's the reality. This is reality, what I'm telling you. Biden is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Chinese Communist Party. That's what the leaders in the Chinese Communist Party have come out laughing and said, too. He is the gatekeeper. His job is to keep the border open, to bring in as many illegals as possible. Amongst them, you have terrorists, known terrorists. His job is to turn America into third world status. That is Biden's job. Biden's job is to pick up where Obama left off and finish it, finish America off as a nation, too. He's working the Biden crime family. We told you this even back when he was vice president, works hand in hand with the drug cartels, and they don't do anything for free. Everybody talks about that $85 billion worth of equipment left in Afghanistan that we gave it to them. No, believe me, there were those that got paid that made money off of that deal, and. Again, so and Biden's job too is to make sure that there's a good supply of children, a good supply being made available to his fellow pedophiles. That's reality. That is actually what's happening out there. And so,
all I'm saying is this is what's going to happen. I appreciate you, Pastor, and God bless all of you.
All right, thank you. How much time do I have there? Okay, we got time for one very fast call. And this is it, Timothy. Timothy, you're in the air.
Yes, good evening. I haven't been able to talk to you in a while. A lot of the other people call in. It's good to hear that there are people out there that are responding and that are standing on the truth. I think tonight what we heard was John 8:44 manifested. That was the title of Biden's State of the Union tonight. And he's probably the number one offspring of the father of all lies. And then all the people that were clapping were all the SEALs in the audience that are his siblings. And they will continue to do that. And that anybody that votes or any constituents that follow them are just the useful idiots that believe all the lies. You know, when you tell the echo chamber lies long enough, the useful idiots that they've indoctrinated for many, many years are going to just parrot the same stuff. But those that stand on the King James Bible and the First, Second, and so on amendments that we know our forefathers wrote those inspired by Judeo-Christian values, we know better. And so I'm going to continue to you stand on Joshua 24:15 every day. And just like any other day today.
All right, Tim, tonight's
yes.
Your big night. We're going to let you, because you're a man of God, give the invitation. You got 3 minutes. Can you tell folks
yes,
how they
yes,
can
I,
avoid
I,
the lake of fire?
I'll do my best to hearken anyone out there that is not. You're either saved or you're lost. Let's just start out with that. There's only two options, and there's only two places that you can go based on those two options. The Bible is clear that we are all sinners. We have all fallen short, and our sin is what's going to keep us out of heaven. So first and foremost, we have to acknowledge that we are sinners, not acknowledge that we need a Savior. And Jesus provided that with doing all the, as you so aptly say, and I concur with that he does all the heavy lifting continually, and he did the heavy lifting, and he continues to do that on our behalf. We have to acknowledge that. We have to turn from our wickedness and realize that he's the only propitiation for that. And when we do that, and we receive his free gift of forgiveness, and we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we have to then go out and share that and try to bring as many people into the fold as we can based on the information that was given to us, which is given, which is required. So I'm looking around today, and I'm seeing them wanting to disrespect the Creator and disrespect the creations. And it was so evident this evening of that. More now than ever do we need a great awakening. And so my call to anyone that does not know the Lord on a personal level is to get on your knees this evening before you run out of tomorrow's and ask him for complete forgiveness of any past, present, and future sins, since all of those are covered by the blood of Jesus on the cross. And get yourself a King James Bible, and as Paul aptly said, to meditate on the word day and night. And his promises, everything in that book, as we read and we know, it never comes back void. Whatever has happened, we are reaping the benefits of, and whatever is yet to happen, we can only hope that we are either here to say it. I mean, either we are either here to see it, or those of us that are raptured.
You're right, Timmy. Timothy, we got to get in here. Not everybody believes, Timothy. Not everybody believes. No. But here's the reality. There is no chance this won't happen.
None.
Everybody will believe. There are no unbelievers in heaven or hell. And like you said, you're going to end up in one of the two, folks. There's no in-between. There's no in-between. And so here's what you need to do. You don't have much time. A lot of by this time tomorrow, many, many people who have no intention of leaving this life will be leaving this life because their soul will be required of them. You might be one of them. You don't want to die in your sin. So pray to the Father. Ask for forgiveness of sin. Ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations, folks. And then, well, what'll happen? You'll become a new creature, born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, just like God said. So we're out of time for tonight. As we get to this time, every night we say, good night, God bless, and always, always, always
keep
fighting.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.